Hello, my name is Joel Spitzer. I work as educational director at a website called www.whyquit.com. It's a site that's set up to help people in many different levels of regarding smoking. It's set up, the original intent was to try to help kids not take up smoking. So we have a strong component in there on prevention, on how the dangers of smoking and why people should never start it up. There is a component on there trying to get people motivated to quit smoking, and that's showing what the dangers of smoking are. The third component we have is help for people trying to quit smoking. Now, most of the site, most of the health information is regarding how to quit smoking on a cold turkey basis. We've done this because we all involved with the site truly believe that this really is the most effective and the safest way to quit smoking. There's many people who will argue with this, but our belief is it is the safest and most effective way at quitting. The reason we believe it's the most effective way at quitting smoking is it really is the way that the vast majority of people who have quit smoking in this country did it. We have around 46 million Americans who have quit smoking. What's interesting about this number, or what this means now, is we only have 45 some million Americans who still smoke. We have more former smokers in this country right now than current smokers. There is this very prominent belief, a lot of people have it, that, oh, quitting smoking is close to impossible. Very few people who try to quit succeed. What's often quoted is only 5% of people who try to quit smoking will quit smoking. This is ridiculous, considering we have more former smokers in this country than current smokers. You know, over half the people who used to smoke have quit. So perpetuating this idea like it's impossible to quit smoking is ludicrous. We have lots of success in quitting smoking. The reason we believe cold turkey is an extremely effective way is it is the way that approximately 90% of the people who have quit smoking did it. If you look at reports put out by organizations who keep telling you, oh, you need to buy this product, you need this product, you know, people can't quit on their own, it's impossible. If you look at their own statistics, they will tell you that 90% or so, it's going to be in that ballpark, of the people who did quit smoking did so without buying any of those products. What's also interesting is most of the people who have ever bought any kind of product to quit smoking, they didn't work for the majority of people. It's not like there's ever been a product that was released that had like, ooh, 100% success rate or a 90% success rate or even a 50% success rate. They have nothing close to this. They keep on trying to give this imagery like, oh, if you buy this product, you're going to double your chance of success. We have had products on the market now for decades, you know, we're talking over 20 years, and you would think like it would be so easy to find all these long-term success stories of, you know, people who just, you know, you should be able to go up and down any street survey, you know, people on the street and say, oh, did you quit smoking and, you know, did you use this product? And, you know, you should be able to find, you know, if you believe what you're hearing here, that, oh, you're going to be able to find these people on every street corner. If you look in your own real-world experience, and what I mean by that, go talk to people who you know, who used to smoke, who don't smoke anymore. You're going to find the vast majority of them did so without the use of any product on the quit that finally took. You're also going to find a lot of these people who had used products before that it didn't work for. You're going to find a lot of them, and you're going to find a lot of people who still smoke who said, oh, they tried this. They tried all of these things, and nothing has worked. So, again, we know we have a lot of people who have successfully quit smoking, and we know that the majority of those who did it by cold turkey. We also know that there has never been, you know, any big news breaking stories that someone, you know, committed a murder or somebody went psychotic or somebody, you know, had some sort of criminal activity where they went insane or that people were dying left and right. because they went cold turkey at quitting smoking. You know, try to think the last time you saw a news story where, you know, it was a story similar to something like that, and what they were writing off is the reason that the incident occurred, you know, whether it was a medical incident or whether it was a criminal incident, that the reason that it occurred was, oh, they just quit smoking that day or the day before, even the day before that. You don't see stories like that. If there was a problem with the method of cold turkey that resulted in this kind of behavior, you would think you would see these kind of stories often, considering the amount of time we have seen this practice being used of cold turkey quitting and the number of people who have used it. We believe that cold turkey is a very efficient way, effective way at quitting smoking. And we also believe it's a very safe way of quitting smoking. Again, because there's been so many millions of people who've done it, and, you know, with relative safety. Now we have products on the market that are being marketed to help people quit smoking. Almost all of these products, there are two situations we have to consider. One is the effectiveness of those products, and I kind of touched on that a little bit a few minutes ago. But then the other one is the safety of these products. Now, we have a new one on the market, and it's starting to get a lot more press than anything else because it's new. And they also say it's because, well, it's different than any product that's ever been out there. So there's two levels of why this is kind of a newsworthy product. It's called Chantix. It's produced by the drug manufacturer Pfizer. Now, it's different than any drug that has ever been put out before. Most of the drugs put out by a pharmaceutical company have been nicotine replacement products. Those were the original drugs that were released in the 1980s. And what these were, the first one was the gum, and then it went into patch form, then it went into lozenge form, now it's an inhaler. They're coming up with lots of different ways that people can take nicotine into their body. And the premise here is, because a person is addicted to nicotine and they have such a hard time quitting, and again, the premise that they're trying to sell you on is it's impossible to quit, you know, when you're dealing with a nicotine addiction or close to impossible, that this way you could use this product in its place and wean yourself off. Well, the whole premise of weaning yourself off of an addictive drug is a topic that we could spend a lot of time on that I don't really want to dedicate this video to do that. We do have a video at whyquit.com. It's called My First Encounter with NRT, and I really do explain NRT issues, nicotine replacement therapy issues, what the problems are. But this was the first class of drug out there, and again, it really has been a dismal failure if you really want to analyze how long this drug has been on the market, how long this, you know, category of drugs have been on the market, and how much long-term success we see with this product. There are just not the amount of successful quitters out there from nicotine replacement therapy that you would expect for a drug that's been on the market for 20 years and has supposedly, you know, increased the quitting rates. Another class of drug came out after nicotine replacement, and it was the first time that they had a non-nicotine drug produced by a pharmaceutical industry, and that one was called Zyban. Now, Zyban, it was interesting. I run, besides doing what I do with whyquit.com for over 30 years now, I was running live stop smoking clinics. And this is where I had people coming in to quit smoking. Now, these were all cold turkey programs. From the second program I did, it was a cold turkey program. I've run thousands of people through stop smoking clinics. So I've dealt with many people in live clinic settings where I'm dealing with these people every single day for the first week, and then talking with them on the phone, meeting with them into a second week. So I have a lot of contact hours with each individual that, you know, I'm discussing here, 5,000 some people, or, you know, so again, it's approximately 5,000. So here, I dealt with people while they were quitting. I really didn't deal with people while they were quitting with nicotine replacement because I wouldn't let them use nicotine replacement and be in the program. We were a detox program. We're trying to get them off nicotine. People coming in using nicotine, they're perpetuating a process that I felt I was torturing them by keeping them in this program, and then they were going to leave the program, still be on nicotine, And in a sense, I'm the wrong one. It was time to quit. So I didn't really deal with people in the programs while they were using nicotine replacements. But when Zyban came out, I let them in. By having them in the program, it was interesting because, again, I didn't feel like they were giving nicotine, so they weren't perpetuating the nicotine withdrawal process, so I wasn't concerned about that. What was interesting was I was able to observe them side by side with a group of people who were quitting smoking who weren't using Zyban. And what was interesting was I couldn't tell them apart. And I do not believe there was a single person in the room who were going to be able to tell apart who was using Zyban, who was quitting cold turkey. They were all complaining the same. Now, when I say they were all complaining, that doesn't mean everybody was complaining. There's people who quit cold turkey who have no real major side effects. There's people who quit cold turkey who have pretty, you know, major side effects. Those people are kind of in the middle, you know. They have little things going on, but nothing is, again, debilitating is what the imagery is out there for all people who quit smoking. Like, it's this horrible, hellish experience. It's not, for most people, what they expect that it's going to be or what they think it's going to be because of what other expectations are from other people telling them that, oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen when a person quits smoking. But the Zyban people, it wasn't like you would have, you know, 30 people who were going cold, who were having all these horrible physical symptoms, emotional reactions, you know, just terrible. But then there'd be two or three people, like, in a corner who were just, oh, at ease, having no problem whatsoever, having no thoughts whatsoever. It was never like that. You could not tell who the Zyban users were and who the other people were. And I think the Zyban users would even attest to that. You know, I can't swear to that, but, you know, it wasn't like they stood out. Now, normally we didn't have many of them. I mean, most clinics, I probably didn't have any. And then there was a few clinics where, again, I'd have like 20 or 30 people and maybe one or two using it. And again, you didn't know who they were. I couldn't tell who they were until I was doing follow-ups to the groups. And the follow-ups I would do would normally be 2 to 3 weeks after the clinic. It could have been months after the clinics. And this is where I would get certain people on the phone who started complaining that they were having specific kind of problems. They were still very sleepy in a sense. They weren't sleeping well. They were more irritable. And I think most of it was tied to a sleep disruption issue, but this is one of the side effects of Zyban. It disrupts people's sleep. And this is where I saw Zyban as being kind of not in the best interest of many people who were using it. They quit smoking, so they were off. So, okay, I'll do that as a given. I do believe they could have got off without the Zyban, but it's neither here nor there. They got off. But here the issue was, they were having problems weeks later, where I'm calling most people in the clinic who don't use the product, and they're doing well. I mean, sleep is adjusted for most of them. They're getting back to kind of a normalized pattern, and they're not having a lot of anger kind of things because, again, with sleep being normal and they're not a withdrawal, their life is going on. They really generally feel not only eased up from when they were quitting, most people find out once they're off a relatively short time period, they become calmer than when they were smoking. Now, I have full videos explaining why this will happen to people. I know when people hear this who smoke, they think there's no way that happens, but it does. And if people really start talking to longer-term ex-smokers, and I'm qualifying a longer-term ex-smoker, I mean people who are off all nicotine products. I'm not saying how they quit, but they are off all nicotine products right now. And they haven't touched any nicotine product or any drug to quit smoking for months or years. Most people are going to realize they're either as calm as they were before when they were smoking, or they were calmer. And many of them will realize they were calmer now than when they were actually smoking. So the Zyban people were, in a sense, having a prolonged problem with sleep disruption and problems associated with that kind of sleep disruption. But again, they were still off smoking. And while it's kind of a problem side effect, it's not that serious of a side effect. You know, they live through it kind of thing. So I kind of still let it go. I didn't stop people from coming into the clinic using it. I never pushed it. I never encouraged it. And people told me they used it. I tried to give them a little bit of warning about, you know, that could be a problem when they tried to get off, that they might still have some issues with that, but that it could still be done. Chantix now is on the market. And, you know, I could take the same kind of route if I had someone coming into a clinic, although I'm not doing many live clinics anymore. Most of what I'm doing now is the internet-based support that I am doing, and I'm doing seminars and trying to get people in seminars to use the materials that I put on the internet. I literally put everything that I have in the clinic, that I use in the clinic, onto the internet. So anyone can get to it. It's free. It's there. There's you know, no hidden agenda here of profit motive. This is stuff that's there for the taking. There's nothing more they're going to be able to get from me for money. That doesn't make a difference at this point in time. The material for quitting smoking, how we think they should be doing it, is go cold turkey, go through this literature that we have to help you do this, and, you know, this will cost you nothing. I could take the same route, as I say, with Chantix, is just tell people, well, you know, just use that, and, you know, and then use our material to reinforce staying off. It's kind of what I did with the Zyban people. I have concerns, though, with the Chantix that are more serious than the ones that I had with the Zyban. I have efficacy concerns. I don't know how effective this product is going to be down the road. We get indications of what it's like while a person is still using Chantix, but when people get off Chantix, are we going to have a lot of long-term success? There's a question mark on that right now. This is not a done deal by any means, and I'll spend some of the video here explaining why I believe there's going to be problems with long-term success with this product. But the issue which has me more concerned as far as doing any kind of recommendation with people, well, just try this and, you know, use us as a supportive mechanism too, I don't want to push anyone to use this product because I have very serious questions about the safety of the product. With Zyban, when it came out, I didn't have as many safety concerns. The reason being, Zyban had been on the market for years, many, many years, before it was being used to help people quit smoking. It just wasn't called Zyban at the time. It was called Wellbutrin. It was an antidepressant drug. It was an antidepressant drug that had been used on probably millions of people. And we knew there were some problems with it to certain populations. People with seizure disorders were warned, do not take this product. People on certain type of antidepressants were warned, do not take this product. So there was an understanding that this was a dangerous product to certain people, but those people were told not to take take the product. And their doctors were told, you know, that if you saw a person was using, you know, one of these other products or had this particular problem, do not prescribe Zyban to them. So there were risks involved with it, but they were kind of known populations. This drug is totally new. It's never been used for anything else before. It was designed for people to quit smoking. The safety tests that were done on this drug were done on healthy people. People who were unhealthy were not included in the tests that were, you know, designed to decide how safe is this drug for people to use. It wasn't used on people who have heart disease. It wasn't used on people who had, you know, numerous medical conditions. It wasn't used or tested on people who had history of psychiatric disorders, emotional problems, just, you know, the whole gambit of things that people have in the real world. It hasn't been tested for safety in these populations. The people who are using it now are, as far as I'm concerned, guinea pigs to see how will this work now on a mass scale to lots and lots of people. This drug was put on the market in a relatively short time period where drugs, this is kind of a problem I almost see with just the whole industry at this point in time, where drugs used to have to be tested for a really long time before they were put on. And very, you know, just kind of watch what happens over a long-term basis. It's no longer the case. Things are, in a sense, pushed to market very quickly, and this one was pushed to market very quickly. And we don't know what's going to happen on a mass scale. Now, that in itself is enough of a concern to raise a red flag for me. But another problem that has raised a red flag for me is because of our internet presence at whitewood.com, we get people writing us a lot. We get people writing us angry that we have, in a sense, put out warning kind of statements about this product, that we're not too thrilled about it, and we have certain concerns. And we get emails from people who just rave, though, about how good it is and how we are discouraging people from using it and what a disservice we are doing by this. Now, I got to point out, the vast majority of these emails that we are getting critical of us because of how great this product is from people who are still using it. They haven't quit. Some of them haven't quit smoking yet. They reduced their smoking a lot. Many of them have quit smoking, but they're still using the Chantix. And we don't know that they're going to get off Chantix and not go back to smoking. These people do not know for a fact that that's going to be the route that's going to happen with them. I haven't got into the efficacy rate yet. I'm basically focusing on the safety issue here. And we do not know, even though it may be safe for these individuals because they haven't had major side effects, although I got to point out, some of these people who are writing and telling that this is a great drug are having side effects, but they're not smoking. So their thinking is, so since they, you know, got off smoking, which, as we all know, is an impossible task, that's their feeling, that it's an impossible task, that this is a great drug. Cigarettes are so dangerous, these side effects, oh man, they're irritating maybe, but they're not, you know, they're not going to kill them. I mean, that's their feeling. You know, they're throwing up maybe, they're nauseous all the time, they're sleep disrupted, they're having issues, but they are not smoking. So they still think that this is a good product and we shouldn't be doing anything to discourage anyone from using this product because of how effective it is. Again, in those individuals, at this point in time, will accept the premise that it's effective, that it got them not to be smoking right now. But I won't accept the premise on these individuals that it got them off smoking forever. We don't know that they're going to be able to get off cigarettes once they get off the product. That's going to be an issue on its own, and I'll address that in a few seconds. The other emails that we are getting, though, which have us concerned from the beginning, was from people who were using Chantix and were having serious side effects. Some, the ones that were listed, when Pfizer sends information to patients and the patient information sheet that patients themselves get, that the user gets, it's listing five main symptoms. The list that the physicians get, though, of symptoms, they don't just list the five common symptoms. They list over 160 symptoms and problems that people have. Again, it's not all people, it's a small number, but they list lots of problems that people are having that are not on the notification that the patients themselves get. The emails that we were starting to get from individuals were problems that were listed on these fact sheets that were given to physicians that they never got. And neither side's going to be happy with us. The side that is happy with the product are mad that we are warning people about these other problems. The people who weren't warned about problems, who did get them, are mad that they weren't told about them. And you may feel that both sides have, you know, equal reasons for griping here, but our feeling is the ones who got complications, and some of these complications are serious, they weren't worried about it. We feel they have a more valid point of view, that information should be out there letting individuals know that these things are risks. Some of the problems that we are seeing with these people are problems that are not even just happening when they're using the drug. Some of these people, when they come off the drug, are now having residual effects to these problems. Many of the joint kind of issues and muscular kind of problems, and things which are not just aches and pains, but things that are almost, they're feeling they are debilitated from them for extended time periods. This is a major concern. And then people with emotional issues, that there's been numerous emails that we get from people who are feeling that their anxiety kind of reactions, their anger that they have when they have been on this product, and even when they first came off it, was serious, was profound, much more so than when people quit smoking just by going cold. Now, I'm not saying that when people quit smoking by going cold, they don't have some of these issues. I joke about this in every clinic I have. I'll always tell people, if there's anyone they've been wanting to tell off, oh, for the last 5 to 10 years, and just never really did it. They're mad about something they're doing, about who they are, about just how they act in a certain way, and you've been wanting to tell them off for 10 years, do it the week you're quitting smoking. I always tell my groups this, and the reason I tell them it is, even if I don't tell them, they're probably going to do it anyway, just because they're angry the week they're quitting smoking, and it's a side effect that many people have. But the reason I really tell them, I said, listen, if you do finally tell them off, you can go back a week later and say, listen, you were quitting smoking. You were out of your mind. You didn't know what you were saying. And, you're really sorry. And, the apology will generally get accepted. The person will realize, okay, they were quitting smoking. They were out of their mind. I'm not using that term literally. I don't think they're using it literally. They're using it as an excuse mechanism for what they said. Also, I explained that you may find you don't want to do the apology. That you should have told them off 10 years ago, and you didn't know the exact way to do it before. And, wow, the week you quit smoking, you just knew the way. So, the reason I'm illustrating that, yes, people get angry when they quit smoking, but you don't see people going out and doing things which are really, really crazy. To the level where they're getting themselves arrested by quitting smoking. They're getting themselves thrown into the criminal justice system because they quit smoking. Again, you got 46 million people who quit smoking. You've never seen a story, in a newspaper or in a television thing. And, hey, maybe there's one case that I just never saw. But generally, you're not seeing this daily. You're not seeing this weekly. You don't see it monthly where someone has done some sort of criminal activity or insane activity, ending up, going into a psychiatric hospital by commitment. And the excuse that they used while in court and that anyone bought was, oh, they had just quit smoking, so that's why it occurred. Again, we have millions of stories like this, or people quitting smoking, and we don't have millions of stories like this. We don't have thousands of stories like this. Again, I don't know, you have dozens of stories like this over a 30-year time period that people have stopped smoking, by going on a cold turkey method, and it's longer than 30 years. I mean, we're going back, you can go back to when they first started smoking at the turn of the century. There were probably some people who initially quit. Anyway, we know a lot of people who quit this way. Cold turkey, didn't have the problem. We're getting a fair number of emails from people who are quitting by Chantix. Is it the majority of users? Of course not. But there's a fair number of them, and enough that we're seeing them. There was a news story. This is what's sparking a lot of the controversy right now, of a professional musician who used Chantix. And, I'm hearing mixed things about how his use was. In some places I've seen where he used one pill. And in other places I see he used it for a week. I actually don't know what the full story is. But they're writing off that this guy basically had some sort of psychotic break where he beat up his girlfriend. I think I heard it like that. And again, I don't know the full details of the story. I'm not that interested. I'm not that worried about the full details of this one story. I'll explain why in a second here. But there was some that he beat up his girlfriend, and then he went to a neighbor's house, and he was acting crazy, like he was trying to break into the house, and the neighbor shot him. And now, this guy's dead, and they're writing off the story that this man was, possibly killed because he took Chantix. Was he killed because of Chantix? Did he have a psychotic break because of Chantix? I don't know. I don't, They said he was drinking too, and there might have been a combination factor in there, and we don't know. It's one case, and you can't base anything on one case. What alarms me, though, about what happened in this particular one case is it got media coverage. And when it got media coverage, some of the stations that did it put online, blogs up where people, or not blogs, but bulletin boards that people could respond to, and you started seeing a lot of people saying they're having these reactions, these same sort of anger kind of reactions, and not feeling, like something is wrong. They are not the normal people who they are. And you see a fair number, whenever the story breaks anywhere, you'll hear people starting to write in on this. That even by itself wouldn't have normally alarmed me much because, that can happen when you do a news story and, there's a lot of people using substances. But when you combine the amount of times that we're seeing that kind of reaction, and then when, on a personal level, when we combine it to what we see in the emails that we were getting before this kind of story ever broke, of people who were saying they were having these kind of emotional reactions, we know that these reactions are happening to people, you know, from that kind of communication that we've had with individuals. I've only dealt with a couple of people in live settings now who use this. I just haven't encountered people who use this product. And I haven't encountered anyone who used it successfully, but that can be by default, but people who come to see me are still using. The two instances that I had were people who used it twice, two rounds. It didn't work the first time, at which point they took it a second time, and the second time the same thing in a sense happened. The first one never quit the first round. The second time this person used it, she found herself having the emotional reactions that were pretty strong, and she got off it then. The first person who I had encountered used it was a man who used it two rounds, got off smoking both times while using it, but then couldn't get off the drug without going back to smoking. As soon as he went off the drug, the urge for cigarettes were there again, and he wasn't ready for it, and so he was now a smoker again. The situation that I'm seeing, though, is people are having emotional reactions, physical symptoms. I mean, I think that most people are going to realize that, you know, you talk to enough people on this drug, you're going to find they're having the common reactions that are being discussed, you know, the five common symptoms. But there's also a lot of people having these other symptoms, some of which are serious. When Zyban was out, I basically told people, you know, if you use it and it works, fine. You know, like I said, I didn't discourage its usage because of that. In all good consciousness, though, I can't do that same sort of recommendation with Chantix, because I do know that there are some serious issues here. And I don't know that the individual who I am saying, well, you know what, if you're thinking about trying it, try it first, and if it doesn't work, then go cold. Because I don't know that I didn't just basically tell them to use this drug that might have a potential of causing a problem with them, that I don't think they needed to put themselves at that kind of risk. You know, if this drug gets out there for years and we finally realize that, no, it didn't cause any of these side effects, you know, that these are all just coincidences, if that were to happen, but again, it's going to take a long time of usage before you are going to be able to get that kind of concrete proof that this in no way did what it really does appear to be doing, you know, in some of these cases. If that is the case, then I'll probably change my position and tell people, oh, you know, okay, we know it's a safe drug, go ahead and try it. If you get off, great, you're off smoking. If you don't get off, then you can kind of try what we're going to suggest. But at this point in time, I don't think people should, who are considering, okay, should I go cold, should I use this, should I use this and then try to go cold. When I was doing clinics and people were asking me about, you know, they're thinking about doing hypnosis, they're thinking about doing acupuncture, they're thinking about doing nicotine gum, they're thinking about doing a patch, they're thinking about doing laser. If people said anything that they were thinking about doing this, or maybe going cold turkey, and, you know, what should they do? My general advice has always been, so go do the other thing first. And I was serious. I wanted them to get everything out of their system, that there was an easy way out of quitting smoking. Because if they came to me first with the idea in the back of their mind that, but if this gets rough, well, I'll just go do the easy way next. If they came into me under that premise, I know they're going to throw the towel in 1 or 2 or 3 days. They are. They're going to have possible withdrawals. They're going to have a hard time and realize, well, this is nuts. I'm suffering. I know there's this easy mechanism out there. I'm just going to go through this easy mechanism. And they're going to lose the quit that I have going with them, you know, in the program. They're, you know, cold turkey program, that if they take a puff, they're on the program. Well, they're going to take the puff because they realize they're suffering. It's too hard. There's this easy way out there. Why suffer? So they're going to blow the clinic. Then they're going to go do this technique, whatever that technique was. And on its own right, it's just not going to have a high chance of success. So they're probably going to fail in that technique. So now they have failed in the easy way. And where they could think, well, you know, what I can do, though, is just go to this clinic to help. But wait, I went to the clinic. It didn't work. So that's pretty useless to me. They have, in a sense, undercut their ability to quit in my program because they think the program didn't work. It didn't work for them. But again, the reason it didn't work is they threw the towel in prematurely because they thought there was an easy way out there that didn't exist. So generally I tell people, go try everything first, then come to me. I can't do that kind of blanket statement here because I don't know that that statement isn't telling them to go use a product that, because of some pre-existing condition that they might have, because of some emotional reaction they have, or just because of the merit of the drug itself, that they may not get a reaction that's going to be a serious implication that may really, really harm these people. And I don't want that, again, on my conscience, that I told them to do that. So I can't do a kind of blanket statement there. So on safety, which is where I've addressed up to this point, I don't feel this is a safe product at this point in time to just routinely tell people that they should be using. On efficacy, that's a different issue now. If you look at the ads, there's been lots of ads on the tortoise and hare commercials, and on the ads, they talk about how effective this product is and how they're basing that determination that they can say that this is a effective product is, and again, the wording they use, I don't know exactly what they're saying, but what they're meaning, but the wording they use is, after 12 weeks, this is the wording, after 12 weeks, 44% of people are able to quit. Now, I don't know if that means that during the 12 weeks that these people are still smoking and now they quit at the 12-week mark, or that they had quit, you know, somewhere along that time period and now they were off for the 12 weeks, but they're only talking about a 12-week measurement that 44% of people were able to stop. Well, that's an interesting time period. That's generally about the time period that they're recommending the dosing of the Chantix to be. So they're saying that while people are using the Chantix, well, 44% of them seem to be able to stop. Well, let's understand the mechanism of Chantix. Chantix is a drug. It's called a partial agonist. An agonist drug is a drug that it has two functions, a drug when it's called an agonist. One is it has a blocking function. An agonist drug will literally go to the receptor site of a cell that is either producing a hormone, a cell that is producing a neurotransmitter, you know, it's a cell that's producing something. And the way it produces it is it gets a chemical stimuli to do it. Something binds. It's going to be, again, another neurotransmitter that binds to it, or it's going to be a medication that binds to the receptor site, and it causes the cell to release what it's going to release. In the case of nicotine, one of the things being released is a dopamine reaction. And so, when we get a drug that's an agonist, one of its features is where nicotine normally binds to the site and causes the release of a chemical, this drug, Chantix, binds to the site. Now, by binding to the site, nicotine now cannot bind to the site. Now, the way the commercial portrays this product is it says that it blocks, you know, nicotine from binding to the site. This is true. It does that. It blocks it. In fact, if that's all it did, it wouldn't be called an agonist. It would be called an antagonist. An antagonist is a chemical that when it binds to the site, it doesn't allow the other drug to get through. It doesn't allow the other chemical to get through. And if that happens, the drug doesn't, the cell does nothing, doesn't produce anything. So it's a non-effect. It stops the effect from occurring. In an antagonist drug, the drug is effective at stopping the process from occurring. The agonist effect, which is where we are dealing with Chantix, it blocks the receptor site, but it also causes the cell, the neuron, whatever it is, to do what the drug normally, or what the cell normally does when it has the other chemical affecting it. So instead of just blocking the reaction, it blocks nicotine from being able to cause the reaction, but its own design causes it, the cell, to produce the same chemicals or the same reaction. So in a sense, dopamine is still being released because of the use of the drug. So when you hear like, oh, it blocks nicotine, half the story, it also causes the release of dopamine, which is probably the end result that the person was taking nicotine for to start with. So now what's happening is these people who are using it are in a sense almost feeling like, well, they don't need to smoke. You know, when they take a cigarette, it seems like it having no effect on them. Well, it's because they've already released the chemical that was being released when they were taking cigarettes, you know, and getting nicotine from it, and then they block the nicotine from now attaching to the site. The problem is now when they try to get off the Champix, they are now coming off these natural chemicals that the body was producing in a way it was producing it when they were smoking and it was producing it when they were using the Chantix, and now it's not producing anymore. These people are very likely going into that drug withdrawal state. Not because they're in nicotine withdrawal, but they're not getting the effect that they have now been used to for 12 weeks on the Chantix and the decades prior to that they were on cigarettes. This is still their first time coming off the medication and coming off the side effects of the body not, you know, producing dopamine at this kind of level. And again, a good percentage of these people are likely going to start to have what they are going to call cravings for cigarettes, and maybe side effects that people have when they normally would come off of cigarettes. And they're totally unprepared for it. They don't know what's going to happen. This warning is not being put out to them. They're just working with the basis, well, they use the drugs, so now it's all over. And it's not going to be like that for a lot of people. This has implications to us, again, at whitequit.com. We don't want to write off these people who have now went 12 weeks without smoking, who we now feel are very possibly going to throw those quits away because they're getting withdrawals. They're getting symptoms, they're getting problems, and they are not prepared at all for it, and they feel like because they feel so bad, they have to stop it, and there's only two ways they can stop it. They can go start Chantix again, or they can go back to smoking. And we suspect there's going to be a whole lot of them who are going to go back to smoking. And now we're dealing with the same problem all over again. So we want people who are using the drug, who have... they've accepted the risks, okay? We've laid out that there's risks involved here. We want people who are using it to realize that while our site may have tried to get them to understand why they may not have been in their best interest to use it, but they did. They're off. They're off smoking now. They're off the drug. They're starting to have problems. We do hope that they come to the site. Disregard the information we have on quitting. We have, you know, a whole section on quitting smoking. Disregard it. Just forget that it's there, you know. You're not going to like what you're reading on there because of maybe some of the comments we're saying about Chantix. But understand that a lot of the material we have on that site was prevention material, as I said originally, for kids. But also, it was on why people should quit. And these reasons are still valid to these people trying to get off Chantix now. There are real valid reasons why they should have been quitting for a long time and why they are off now. That this was really a good thing that they are not smoking right now. And then a large block of the material we have in the How to Quit section is relapse prevention material. I want them all to read that. I want people, no matter how they quit. You know, there is a perception out there at some sites that we are fanatical about what we say about that cold turkey is the only way to quit. We do not say it is the only way to quit. There are people who quit by alternate, you know, methodologies. It's a low success rate of those alternate methodologies, but there are some people who pulled it off. And we want those people to know that, yes, okay, if you got off and you did it by a way which we don't think was basically in your best interest, we still have a ton of information that will help you to stay off of smoking. And that's the relapse prevention material. We do want users of Chantix who did get off to get to this material. We want people who, again, have quit cold turkey, especially, you know, to get to this material. We want people who use any product to get off smoking and got off to get to the relapse prevention material. They need to understand what they need to do to stay off of smoking. The real trick is in quitting smoking. And you'll hear this from smokers themselves. Oh, I know I can get off for a day or two. You'll hear people say they can get off for a week sometimes, but they can't seem to stay off. That is a real problem that people have with smoking, is it's real hard to stay off. The reason it's hard is people don't understand the drug addiction involved. And you need to understand the addiction to really enhance your chance of being able to stay off over the long term. I don't want to say that you have to have this information to be able to quit and stay off, because that's not true. Because the vast majority of people who've quit smoking in this world never got the information. They haven't. They don't understand the premise of drug addiction. But there's something internal in them. There's something instinctive at this point that they know. You'll hear them say, oh, there's times I'll kill for a cigarette. Oh, yeah, I could really go for a cigarette. But they won't take it. There's something instinctive, as I said, or they learn from prior experience, and every time they did it, they lost their quits. So while they want it, they know not to do it, and they've stuck to it. They're long-term success stories. But we want people who have quit smoking, by any means, to find this material and to understand it. Why? They need to understand not to take a puff on a cigarette, because this is the real hitch here. If people don't understand what they're fighting a true form of drug addiction. And if you treat a drug addiction like a drug addiction, you'll be able to stay in control of this one. You try to treat a drug addiction like a bad habit. And that's what a lot of people do. They get time under their belt, and they feel like they're off for so long, they feel so good, they hate smoking so much, they know it's so dangerous, and it's so expensive, and it's so smelly, and it's so disgusting, there's no way they could smoke again. They don't understand the main premise of this drug addiction here, or any drug addiction, is there is a way they can do it again. The way they can do it again is they let their guard down for a second, and either under a bad moment or a good moment, you know, they're celebrating something or they're having a tragedy in their life, and they think that somehow a cigarette is going to enhance the time period or get them through it. They take the cigarette, and it causes them to lose that quit. The relapse prevention material can help anyone, no matter how they quit, to understand the importance of not letting that event occur. So if you did quit with Chantix and you're off, great, you're off. But now it's time to focus on also getting off of, or staying off of cigarettes. If you have quit, and again, this is a video that I made about Chantix, but maybe people are watching it who aren't even considering it, that it isn't even, you know, part of their game plan. I want them to understand about the relapse prevention material. And in the case for people who are thinking about quitting now, and now they're considering the medication, it's your decision if you're going to do it. You know, talk to your doctor. Have them, you know, discuss what their views are of all the implications. They got them. You know, tell them you want to see the list of what the real implications are, what the risks may be. And then if you accept that, okay, it's a risk, I accept it, I'm still going to use this drug. If you do it that way, still try to look at the materials we have on why you should quit. It'll help reinforce your resolve to, you know, get this quit going. And after you're done with this drug, or even while you're using it, you can go through the relapse prevention material to be prepped of what might happen when you come off. You might have problems here. You know, just the problems that people are going to have. It's postponing withdrawal in some people. It's not eliminating it. So when those might happen, I want them to be prepared how to ride them out. And that material will help at whyquit.com. It'll all come down to helping you understand that once you got to quit going, no matter how you do it, the way you keep it going is by having made a personal commitment and now being prepared to stick to that personal commitment to never take another puff,